satisfy your literary cravings. Welcome to the Bookworm Banquet Show with your hosts, JD and Nicole.
Hey there, Bookworm. Thanks for tuning in. Just a quick reminder before we jump into the content today, the show notes for this episode can be found at bookwormbanquet.com/11.
Today, we're going to be reviewing a nonfiction book by Dawn Tink and Raf Raf Barak called Saved by Her Enemy.
And Nicole's got a fact for us this time about true love at its grossest. Ooh, that sounds interesting. Can't wait to get to that. And I've got a tip coming up about a cleverly designed bookmark that I think you're going to want to check out. Hey, Nicole, I found this article the other day that I wanted to run by you and see what you thought of it. So it's by The Guardian, which is a newspaper in the UK. Are you familiar with them?
I actually am, yes.
Okay, so they did a poll of 1,200 people that read at least once a week, and they asked them what their favorite childhood book character was. So my question to you is, who do you think was number one on that list?
Favorite childhood book character. Ooh, okay. My first guess would be my favorite child book character, which would be Anne of Green Gables.
Okay, remember this is the UK, though.
Oh, UK. Well, Canada is a British Commonwealth, so that I could still throw that one in there. So if I had to go with a British book, was Winnie the Pooh British? I feel like that author was British.
A.A. Milne. You nailed it. I cannot believe this.
Did I get it right?
Yes, Winnie the Pooh.
Ah!
Number Woo-hoo! One favorite childhood book character. Can you believe? That totally blew me away, to be honest with you.
It blew you away? You know, I don't know. I'm not surprised. I would have guessed Winnie the Pooh for younger children, American or British. So, wow. I can't believe I got that.
I can't.
That's amazing.
Number two was Harry Potter. And that makes sense to me because I, you know, that book series is absolutely huge all over the world. Obviously, the author is British and it has a huge following over there. So I cannot believe Winnie the Pooh beat Harry Potter.
I think Winnie the Pooh probably beat Harry Potter because it's been around a little bit more or a little bit longer. So it probably has a longer following of people who look back at their childhood for Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
Because Harry Potter still seems kind of new.
True.
Even though it's been around for, what, a decade or more now?
Oh, yeah, at least.
Yeah. So, very cool.
Yeah, so some of the other ones that round out the top 10 here, Bilbo Baggins from The Hobbit.
Okay.
Okay, I can see that.
Totally.
He was number four. Matilda. And
oh, yeah.
Roald Dahl. I loved that book when I was a kid. I read that a couple of different times.
Absolutely.
Lucy from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Mm-hmm.
The Cat in the Hat.
Oh, yeah. I'm surprised that's not number one.
Charlotte from Charlotte's Web. And yeah, that's not all 10, but that rounds out the ones that I'm familiar with. There's a couple others that I actually haven't heard of, and I don't know if they're just from British main, you know, stories that are mainly known in the UK or not, but there's a list of the top 20 favorite childhood book characters. So link in the show notes for that. But I just wanted to toss it out there. I cannot believe that you nailed that. That is so funny.
I can't either, but I'm pretty proud right now, not going to lie.
Well, just a quick note that today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. You can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial by going to audibletrial.com/bookworm. They've got over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you can use your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. You can also listen right in your web browser. But again, that address is audibletrial.com/bookworm. Or you can click the banner in the sidebar on our website, bookwormbanquet.com, and check that out. So thanks to Audible for their support of the show. I read this book a while ago, and as soon as I picked it up and started reading it, I immediately messaged you, Nicole, and I said, I think we got to do this book on the show because this is such a great story.
I remember you contacted me for the first time about it because you were pretty excited about it being a nonfiction, but being a very riveting story. So I'm excited to get into this review.
Yeah, it's called Saved by Her Enemy. Subtitle is An Iraqi Woman's Journey from the Heart of War to the Heartland of America by Dawn Teague and Raf Raf Barak, by Howard Books, which is a division of Simon & Schuster. It was published in 2010, and man, it is a riveting story. It grabbed my attention right from the get-go. 320 pages long, but it goes by, and it's just a breeze to read through. It flows very well, and it's a quick read.
Yeah, it is a quick read. It didn't take me very long to get through this because it is very captivating. To give you a little bit of an idea of what the story is about, it says, for her entire life, Rauf Rauf, a devout Muslim, had been told that Americans were her enemy. Her understanding of the world, of her place in it, and of the United States had been steeped in the culture of Iraq under the rule of Saddam Hussein. Yet in the midst of insurgents attempting to kidnap and kill her, she found herself on the receiving end of life-saving help from those she considered her enemies. This is a story of a very unlikely friendship between American war correspondent Don Teague and Rauf Rauf Barak, an Iraqi college girl who won a job as a translator for NBC during the early months of violence in the wake of the American invasion of Iraq. So obviously this story takes place in the early part of the 2000s, I want to say 2003 or so, during what we call Operation Iraqi Freedom, when we had our war on terror going on after 9/11. And this is very interesting to me because it is told for a portion of the book from the Iraqi point of view, which I think we Americans don't understand because we're not in the middle of our nation being invaded like that. So that, number one, I thought was very interesting. And then, of course, the other part of the story is told by this NBC war correspondent who was over there on the American side, obviously, telling from this news point of view. And just the merge of these two different points of views, the cultural interaction was absolutely riveting.
Yeah, and I like the way the chapters are laid out. So some chapters are written from first-person perspective, from Don's perspective, and then it switches to third-person where when he is telling the story from Rauf Rauf's perspective. For some reason, they don't go into her first person for some reason, but the way he does it, it's just really an interesting approach, but I really liked it.
Oh yeah, it works. It absolutely works. The different points of views may sound confusing, but it isn't at all. And the way that Don writes the story is just, it flows very, very well, and it works. It just works.
And Don says in the author's note that, you know, some of these scenes that they are retelling are kind of just recreated from the best of the memories from both of them. So it's interesting how they work together on this project. And I heard a clip from an interview where he said that he would write a chapter or several pages of depicting a certain portion of the story. And then he would send it over to her to read through and make sure he had remembered everything correctly. And then she would input things. And just an interesting collaboration that they went through. I've always been fascinated by books that are co-authored because I personally don't see how that would work, you know, especially a fiction work. And I know that this one isn't fiction, but to work together on a book like that, you've got to really work well with one another to make it come out and be a good product.
Oh, absolutely. How many times have you been with somebody and you're talking about something you both experienced at the same time and you no, that didn't happen. Oh, yes, it did. No, this happened. And your ideas of the very exact same moment are completely different. You know, emotions being involved and perspectives and all of that. So it's very interesting how Don and Rauf Rauf, in the midst of some very intense situations, to be quite honest, you're talking about war, you're talking about violence, you're talking about bombings, all types of crazy things. And to be able to get those details down right and to agree on them is nothing short of a miracle.
Yeah, that's true. And I just think it's really interesting because it's a process of her going through this whole whirlpool of emotions of discovering the truth from the propaganda that she had been taught all of her life by the Hussein regime, and just living in Baghdad, growing up in that culture, not just the Islamic religion and that kind of thing, but just all of the things that were going on in that country at the time because of Saddam Hussein, and suddenly getting thrust into this world of all these Americans who are all over her country, and first going through kind of a stage of kind of resentment of their invasion, and then kind of growing to actually have great close relationships with many of the people that she worked with at NBC. It's just it's really, really a fascinating story.
Yeah, there's a lot of character development in this personally for both of these main people, you know, Don and Roff Roff, because there is a huge cultural clash here. And I think that for me as an American sitting on the other side of this, I don't feel like I fully understand the Middle Eastern culture over there. And so to hear it from her point of view, from a young woman growing up in a place where, you know, women's rights are fairly non-existent, to having to change her entire mentality. She knew no other way of life than what she had been raised in under this very dominating regime. And then to have to change the way she viewed America and Americans and Christianity, I thought was very interesting. But on the other hand, you have these NBC correspondents, news correspondents that also had to learn how to deal with this culture that they are now thrust in. I mean, they're not in America over there. They are in the Middle East. And so having to learn how to deal with each other's culture. Now, I think this probably comes from the fact that I'm a history teacher, but I found that very, very fascinating and very enlightening.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just naivete on my part, but I had no clue how deeply involved news correspondents got into the things that are going on in a war. When they're sent over there, they're right in the thick of things.
Oh, right, and in the middle of it. Yeah. I agree. It shocked me about how many of them were right there when bombs exploded. The worry about being kidnapped themselves, being targeted. I didn't realize that they were targeted the way they were as well. So lots of near-death experiences in this book.
Yeah. And it's one of those experiences that really cements the relationship between these two and really pushes Don to say, I've got to help this woman get out of this world that she finds herself in. She's kind of in the crosshairs because of her work here at NBC. And so it just, the way that the story unfolds, it really is a page turner. It keeps you involved. And there are quite a few actual moments of humor throughout the story, just some of the situations that they both find themselves in, because on one hand, Don's just, you know, completely new to that culture in the Middle East. And so he finds himself in humorous, kind of awkward situations sometimes. And then the same for Roff Roff with the Americans. And one scene that they kind of tell about is, I just thought was wonderful, just shows the real humanity of these people. And she finds herself so taken by this computer game. It's a word puzzle game, and she just loves playing this on the computers there at the NBC offices that are set up at a hotel. And I just thought that was a great interaction and just really showed just the real life aspect of this character and how she's in the middle of this war zone, all this stuff going on in her country. She's got all these different emotions going on, but she can still sit down and play a computer game and have fun, you know, and kind of block all that out.
And the best part of that whole story, that particular part, is that it's this game about the English language, and she beats them all.
Yes.
And English is not even her first language.
Yeah.
She is so determined to get it right that she beats the Americans at this game, and it's just hilarious because she is so proud of herself.
As she should be.
Yeah, it's a great book. And the other thing I want to say about this is very much a faith-laden book. Don believes that he is in the Middle East because God put him there. And when he meets Roff Roff, he knows he is there for her, that she's the reason that he's been sent back. Because this was not his first time in the Middle East. He did not want to go back. It was not fun. He had to leave his wife and his children, and he's never quite sure he's going to make it home. And then he meets this girl, and he realizes she's his mission. And I just thought it was very, very uplifting and very impacting to me that in the midst of, I know I keep saying it, all that violence, he never wavers in what his mission is.
Yeah, that's true. And some pretty extraordinary things happen that make all this possible for her to actually leave Iraq. And it's amazing, really. It really is. One last thing that I wanted to mention is I loved Don's description of the green zone and what it was like getting in and out of that area and just how intense that situation was, because as you're lining up to try to get in, you never knew if there was going to be a suicide bomber or someone pull up in a truck that was going to explode, or, you know, just constantly having to be on guard I really thought that was fascinating, that whole description, and he really paints the pictures really well.
Oh, yeah. I had a definite, like you said, better understanding of what actually happens over there in the middle of war. We've been so fortunate here in America to not have it in our front yard, and yet those people have. And so to kind of be there in the midst of it through this book and to be able to kind of understand that, I felt I got a better understanding of what, you know, the war in Iraq was really all about. So I appreciate Don Teague's perspective on all of that.
So I'd highly recommend that you check out this book. If this has not piqued your interest at all, I'm not sure what's wrong with you, but this is a great book. It's a great book.
So true. I would suggest higher, you know, older teens to adults, just because it does have some, you know, some violent parts, some things that might be a little bit scary for younger children. So older teens, though, and adults, definitely check out this book. It is worth the read. I feel that we owe it to Rough Rough to read her story, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I'm going to rate this book. I don't know if I've even done this before, but I'm going to rate it 5 bookmarks out of 5. How do you like that rating system?
I absolutely love that rating system. Well, JD, this may surprise you and it may not, but I am going to give it 5 bookmarks as well, simply because it's just not easy for Rough Rough to have come out of where she came from. And I, like I said, I feel like owe it to her. You know, she deserves her story to be heard. So 5 out of 5 for me as well.
Awesome. And a quick shout out to Christopher Green, who gave me the idea to use bookmarks for the rating system. So I love that idea. So we incorporated it. So thanks, Christopher.
Yes, thank you, Christopher. We do love Christopher Green and all he does for us.
Let me remind you one more time that this episode is brought to you by Audible, and they're offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to you as a listener of the Bookworm Banquet podcast, just to give you a chance to check out their service. And in fact, you can even get An Eye for Glory, the book that we reviewed from episode 2, as your free download. It's almost 12 hours of an amazing story for absolutely free. Or you can choose the book we talked about in episode 1, Though Waters Roar by Lynn Austin. And there's a handful of other books that we've talked about and mentioned over the past several episodes that you can find on Audible. All you got to do is go to audibletrial.com/bookworm and get your free book and sign up for that free trial. Again, audibletrial.com/bookworm.
Tidbits about authors, their lives, and their work. It's Nicole's Bookworm Fact.
Okay, so for my Bookworm Fact today, from the a little bit of a teaser we gave you earlier, this is truly about true love at its grossest. Now, it only seems apropos that this particular story, which is true, is tied to an author who is noted for having written one of the scariest books in classic literature. And if you've ever read Frankenstein, you will understand this. Mary Shelley is most known for her book Frankenstein. If you've never read it, I do recommend reading it. It's one of my favorite books, believe it or not. And it is a bit of a scary story. So it is no surprise to me that this literally happened. Now, Mary Shelley was actually married to Percy Bysshe Shelley, who is a famous poet. I'm sure you've read some of his poetry. And they were married. Unfortunately, their marriage didn't last very long because he would die at a very young age, at the age of 29. He would drown in a boating accident. A storm hit his boat and he would drown. It actually took them 10 days to find his body. And by that point, it was kind of bloated and they couldn't get it back to England. So they decided to cremate it right there on the shore. And when they cremated his body, everything burned except his heart. I know, it sounds completely fictitious. You think I'm making this up. I am not making this up. His heart literally didn't burn. It was actually calcified. They think that he had tuberculosis at some time in his life, and it had calcified his heart. So his heart literally would not burn. Well, his friend, who was this captain, who had actually found his body and cremated it, gave his heart to another poet, who then kept it in a wine cellar for about 6 months, before giving it to Mary Shelley, which you would assume at that point you then take the heart and bury it? No, not for Mary. Mary was obviously very devastated at having lost her husband. So in order to, quote unquote, keep his memory with her, she carried that heart around with her for the next 30 years. She kept it in a silken shroud, quote-unquote, hanky, and carried it with her, literally, for the next 30 years.
In just fact, wrapped up?
Just wrapped up. Is, like I said, this is really disgusting, but it really happened. They would actually find it a year after her death in a desk drawer. Are you ready for this? Wrapped in one of Percy's poems, Adonis. She had wrapped it in one of his poems, put it in the desk drawer before she died. So by the time his heart made it from his cremated body to finally be put in a vault, it was 67 years.
Oh my goodness.
Now, that's devotion right there. That's sick love. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, I don't even know what to say. That is so wacky.
Well, what do you expect from the person who wrote Frankenstein, right?
Yeah,
kind of
I guess
puts things
so.
In perspective.
Wow. How do you move on from that?
Go read the book. Sorry.
Oh my goodness. Well, if you want to find out more about this, there's a link in the show notes to read this full story. But my goodness. I had no clue about that.
I know. It's pretty. I'm telling you, the world of literature is full of all types of weird people.
Oh, absolutely. That takes the cake, man.
Random recommendations for readers. Here's JD's bookworm tip.
Well, I wanted to tell you about this cool little product that I found, and I'm probably going to actually be ordering it for myself because I think it's so cool. I'm a tech geek, and I like retro technology, and I have a whole shelf in my studio with all this old, outdated technology. I don't know why I keep it around, but I just like it for some reason. And I came across these bookmarks that are in the shape of a cassette tape, and the ribbon that you actually use to mark your place is, it looks like the tape coming out of the cassette case.
Are you serious? Okay, that is something I would buy. That is too cool.
Is that not cool? It's so cool. It's a ribbon, but it looks, it's brown like the actual tape that would come outside of the cassette. And growing up in that era where that's all we had was pretty much cassettes and records, I have so many times had to fix a cassette that got eaten, quote, eaten by the cassette player. And so you got to pull it out and wind that tape back inside. So.
And the best way to do it was with a pencil.
Absolutely.
Stick a pencil in it and spin it back.
And you just had to hold it at that perfect angle just to get it right.
Yep.
So.
Oh, memories.
These are so cool. They're little bookmarks that they're magnetic. So the cassette part clips over the page and then the ribbon comes outside of the bottom of the cassette and hangs down, and that's what you mark your place with. So these are really cool. It's a set of two of these. You can get them on Amazon. There's a link in the show notes. But cassette tape bookmarks, what is better than that? I mean, that is so cool.
I'm sorry. Between my fact and your tip, this is a pretty epic episode right here.
I would have to agree. How are we going to top this next time? I don't know.
Oh, man. We'll do it. We will do it.
Well, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed learning about Saved by Her Enemy and this amazing fact and tip today. I had a blast. I don't know about you, but...
Oh, this has been way too much fun.
Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, head over to bookwormbanquet.com/contact. It has all the different ways to get in touch with us, but you can email us at feedback@bookwormbanquet.com or...
Or you can call our feedback line, text or leave a voicemail at 623-688-2770.
The show notes for everything we talked about is at bookwormbanquet.com/11. Also want to mention we are starting that new series of photo image cards or whatever you want to call them with fun bookwormish sayings on them. So be sure to check out the website for all of those. We'll be adding those as we go along once every week or so. We'll add a new one. Bookworm quotation or you might be a bookworm joke. So check the website often for those.
And don't forget, you can subscribe to our podcast at bookwormbanquet.com. Please sign up.
Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
Bookworm Banquet is a production of Porchlight Family Media. Our theme music was composed by Sam Avendano. Bumper music by John DeLay and the 41 Players. Our announcer is Janessa Cooper. The program is produced by yours truly. Our website is bookwormbanquet.com.